Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message. Yeah, so we've been in a series called Guy Code for a couple weeks now. This is our third week in Guy Code. And, man, I'm just excited about what God is doing. I do want to take a minute and just thank the ladies because this is a series, I won't say pointed at, but pointed at men. It's directed. I mean, it's not like it's there, but it's not like a gun, like we're trying to make you feel bad about who you are. Actually, what we're trying to do is call out what God has put inside of you. And that's tough to do because as men, we don't like to really be told anything. Please, some man, please get in agreement with that. We don't like to be, I'm a grown man. I got hair on my chest. I can do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, with that's our attitude. But man, sometimes Proverbs talks and it talks about the wisdom of getting counsel. And Psalms talks about the wisdom of counsel. And it talks about how smart it is when you let somebody else, God, speak into your life. Or you let God speak into your life and begin to challenge you and change you. And so we believe this. We believe that basically men run off of a code. Some of it's written, some of it's unwritten. We used analogies like you know, you don't ask somebody's girlfriend out. That's against guy code. You get like one girl thing, and you still get to keep your man card. I thought of some more. If you flirt with my wife, I'm going to punch you, and you're going to deserve it because that's guy code. Like if somebody goes, man, I was flirting with this dude's wife, and he punched me in the face, every other guy's going to look at you and go, dude, that's like written. Like, I'm not sure where, but that's okay. Somebody could amen that, because that's just... And so I think this, that I also think that while there's some guy code that we think everybody should know about, there's some other guy code that's not super obvious. It's not always intuitive. I use the analogy of a boy who was raised maybe by a woman who wasn't very athletic, and there was no man to teach him how to throw a baseball, and they throw all awkwardly. They step with the wrong foot, or they whatever, and you think, man, how do you do that? It's because nobody ever taught him. And I think this, I think that we're going, as men, that we're going through our lives and we're doing the same thing over and over again, but we're expecting a different result. And we can't figure out how to get from point A to point B. So we're going to take a look at guy code. In that, the first one that we looked at in week one, this is just a little recaps. Joel chapter 3, 9 through 10. This is kind of the thrust of everything that we're doing. It says, proclaim this among the nations, consecrate for war, stir up the mighty men of God. We're trying to stir up the mighty men. Because I think that some men are acting weak when really they're mighty. Anyway, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. I believe that this is a come up series for some men. Verse 10, it says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning spears into hooks. That we believe this, that inside of every man is metal. And that if you will allow that metal to be beat on, if you will allow it to go under pressure, if you will allow it to be turned into something other than what it is, God can do something unique in your life. Now, here's the problem, is that men say, make stupid statements like this, and I can say this because I'm one of them. That's just how I am. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because if you took a piece of metal and beat on it long enough, this may be what it looks like, but this is what it can be turned into. And that if you will allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit and a little bit of hard work to be pressed into your life, you can take a plowshare. And we know that a plowshare, based on week one, is something that God wants to use to impact the world around you. We're going to touch on that a little bit. And we also talked about, when he talks about beating the pruning hooks, that's talking about beating what prunes your own life into something bigger than what it is. That as we grow as men, we should have an effect on the world around us, but at the same time, it comes from an inward place of change in our own life. And then I love this. It says, let the weak say, I'm a warrior. The problem is, as men, we spend a ton of time fighting stuff that doesn't even exist. So we talked about that in week one. We said that there were two things that to really begin a warrior process. One is to beat the metal of your talents into something that God can use to change the world. And the second thing is beat the metal of your life into something that looks like what God wants your personal life to look like. And then in week two, we talked about, do you even lift, bro? And we talked about this. We talked about how you can start out with a 5-pound weight. And if you remember, JC was up here and he was like curling it with his finger, making it look all easy. And then he went to 10 pounds and it was pretty easy. And then we asked him to pick up a 25, start curling it. And he did it pretty good. It was pretty easy. And then we asked May, who was a young lady, to come up here. And she did the 5 okay. And she did the 10 okay-ish. And then she did the 25 and her veins in her neck started popping out and her spine flew out the back. We made her stop and we figured this out that it's about lifting the process over and over and over again. It's about training yourself to be something bigger than what you are. And we challenged men to do this. We said, men, we want you to pray over your wives once a day. We want you to pray over your kids out loud to them, in front of them. Once a day. I'm not even going to ask men how many did it, because here's the thing. I have a feeling if I asked my men and looked at them, I'd have to look at them and go, did you even lift? I mean, I bought you a gym card. I told you what to do. Did you even lift, bro? Did you do it? And we came in here and we read Mark chapter 3, 27. It says, but no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. And my question is this, are you even a strong man? Because this whole teaching of Jesus, this whole parable of Jesus hinges on the fact that the dude in the house is strong. And here's the thing. I think that physically we have some strong men, but spiritually, can I be honest? I think that some of us are anemic. I think that some of us want to be Captain America, but we look more like the dude before the transformation. Like, will somebody buy that kid a sandwich, right? Like I just feel like God's looking and going, man, can we transform this dude? Because this ain't going to get it. So now here we are at week three, and if you skipped week two, here's the great thing. You got two things to work on this week. You still need to, because this isn't I went and prayed over my wife and my kids every day this week, and now I can stop doing that and move on to week three. It's an and statement. Now I'm praying over my family every day out loud to them, and now I'm about to add week three. This is so hard. Yes, it's called being a man. It's putting the reps in. And it's doing it over and over and over again until it becomes normal. How many of you guys ever have people come and stay at your house ever? Like friends, family, whatever. Some of y'all need some friends. People going, some of y'all aren't even proud of your friends. You're waving like this. Like, I don't want to tell you who they are. We need to begin to put these things in place so much that when we do them, other people think they're weird. But you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You should look a little peculiar to people. How come you pray over your wife, dude? That's weird. Yeah. She digs it though, man. If you're a man and you prayed over your wife this week, I guarantee you this, you're a better man in her eyes this week than you were last week. And if you didn't, you got work. So we're going to go ahead and start talking about this week. So I've asked Macy to come up. If you would just walk over there, turn your back to me. You've been down this road before. This is a dart. It's pretty sharp. My son and I are we like throwing darts. I'm pretty accurate with them. And that one's got a really good tip on it. And so here's what happens. Sometimes when we come home from work, we come home in some sort of way. Frustrated, aggravated. Or maybe we're dealing with the kids and we get frustrated and aggravated. Or maybe we're dealing with our wife and now it's our turn to deal with our kids. Or we dealt with somebody and we've been on hold for 4 hours. And all of a sudden we've got this stuff that's building up inside of us. Because inside of every man is a bunch of stuff. Can I get a witness? like there's good stuff inside of me. And then there's like some of this stuff inside of me. Now, if I told you that I was going to come home, and let's say that Macy was my kid, and I said, man, you know what? I'm going to come home, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this dart, which is arguably, well, it didn't stick that time, which is arguably fairly sharp, and here's what I'm going to do, because I'm pretty accurate with these. I'm going to throw this and hit her right between the shoulder blades. So what I'm going to do is just sling it right into her back. I wish you could see what I see sometimes, because I got people that are sitting there and they went, Pastor, I get what you're saying. You don't have to do it. But really, we did it first service. She'll only bleed a little bit. So what I would never do that, right? So in lieu of hitting Macy in the back with a dart, I'm going to use some foam balls. Much nicer. But can you imagine if I came home and Macy's just standing there and she never knows when it's coming. That's why she keeps looking to her left so that through her glasses in the corner of her eye, she can see what I'm about to do. Because I pummeled her last service. I'm just going to, I hit her in the head once. I hit her in the face inadvertently. But what if I just came home and just started smacking her with the ball? But imagine that this ball was a dart and it wasn't something that didn't hurt. It was something that did. And I'm in no way saying that anybody should ever allow abuse to go on in your relationship. So if you're in a relationship and it's abusive, I'm going to tell you up front, get out. If it's physically abusive, you need to be gone. Everybody get in agreement with that. If you're a lady or even a guy and you're in a physical or a child and you're in a physically abusive relationship, you need to get out now. Everybody in agreement with that? Let's just make sure the church said amen to that. Okay. So here's the thing. But sometimes I would rather be beat up physically than deal with somebody coming home and one word after another was there. Because they're not always Nerf balls. Sometimes the words that we say take days, weeks, months, decades, and sometimes the words that we say never really heal. You ever said something to somebody that you wish you could take back? But that dart was so stuck inside of them that it was never going to come out. The best thing you could hope for was that the wound closed around it. Proverbs 18, 20 through 22 says this, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of his tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. For he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. Now, Proverbs is arguably written by the smartest guy who ever walked the face of this planet. And either he has an ADD moment, which is unexplained. Have you ever talked to somebody and you cannot follow anything they say? Maybe you can turn around and look at them or me or whoever you want to. I just feel weird having you stare at a wall for the next few couple minutes. But have you ever talked to somebody and like they made no sense at all? Like they start doing this. Hey, so I went to the grocery store and I got cantaloupes and I got grapes and the Jets are the best football team ever. Or they start telling a story, and the story like is so all over the place. I interrupt some people sometimes. I'm like, hey, I'm not interrupting you. But what's the point? Well, a lot of people will say that this is disconnected, but I think this whole scripture text is actually connected. So we're going to go back to the beginning. I want to look at it. So verse 20 says this. It says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. God said this. He said, if you're really wanting to satisfy the inside part of your life, you have to look at what comes out of the top side of your life. You got to look at what comes out of your mouth to figure out what's really trying to satisfy you. He said, because you're satisfied by the yield or the fruit of your lips. See, some of us want good marriages, but we've got horrible communication with our spouse. I want my wife to love me. I'll take it back. Well, maybe. Go ahead, you can get it. Because does it look like this? This is the way it looks at my house. I come home and I'm ill. So I hit her and then Now we got to find. See, she's already looking for the next thing to grab. You know, if this was real, she would not have thrown that underhanded. She'd have been like, Suzah! But isn't that really how it goes? Because from the fruit of your mouth. Now watch this. So I also have a ring pop. Actually, I got a bunch of them. So I got a ring pop. I don't need them all right now. Maisie, here's, come get your ring pop. You ready? Did you notice what she did? She went to reach for it with one hand and guard with the other hand. Because what we do as men is we ask the ladies and we ask our lady and we ask our children to follow us. And I wonder sometimes if they don't follow us because we're too busy throwing words at them that cause them to hurt. And then sometimes we ask them to follow us with something sweet, and in the middle of sweet, we haul off when we hit them with a word. And then we wonder why they don't want to follow us. Proverbs says this, but from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied, and he's satisfied by the yield of his lips. Verse 21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Do you ever wonder if maybe the reason your relationships are dying is because they're bleeding to death because of the words that you said? You ever wonder if maybe sometimes the reason people are following you is because they need what's in your hand, but they hate what's in your heart? Because they're bleeding to death because you talk to them in ways that wound them. Scripture said, but you men, you women, have the ability to speak life or death into the world around you, into the people around you, and you're just busy cutting them. Goes on in verse 22, and it says this, I love this, but he who finds a wife, why would God ever allow an author to talk about the way and the fruit of what comes out of our mouth and then turn around and talk to our, and then talk about wives? Because as a man, as a warrior, the thing we battle with the most are the people we love the most. Can you imagine a warrior coming home and going, well, let's see how sharp my sword is. Come here, honey. All the women are going, divorce. But if I look back at the divorce rate in our country over the last couple of decades, men have learned less and less how to be men, and divorce rates have gone up and up. Could there be a correlation? Proverbs 15:1. A soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I just need one. You ever come home and your wife's in that mood? Whatever it is. The kids are on her nerves. Somebody cut her off in traffic. Her job's going horrible. She's just frustrated with life in general. Because sometimes, can I be honest, sometimes women, and I'm not picking on you because men are the same way, sometimes you don't even need a reason to be annoyed. Have you ever got annoyed and you don't even know why you're annoyed? What's wrong with you? Nothing. I just don't like you right now. You are my soulmate. You're the one God entrusted me. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I just don't like you. Am I the only one who's ever had that day? Okay, so watch this. So watch. So what do we do? Because this is about learning how to be a man and learning how to lead. Because here's the thing. Most men want to be the head of their house. They want to lead their house. They want to be in charge, but they have no idea what leadership looks like. So we think that leadership looks like grabbing a ball and throwing it at everybody and say, follow me, listen to me, listen to me, rather than understanding how it really works. Scripture says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now watch this. If Macy comes in on a bad day and she throws her words at me, thank God you missed. What I want to do, I want to take this ball and see how far I can pummel it into her forehead. How many of y'all, when you fight with your spouse, you fight to hurt? When you say something, you say it to cut. But Scripture says, what happens if when they throw that hard word at you, what happens when you turn around and go, want a ring pop? Did you see how quick she reached for that? Now, in my arsenal was still the dart, but I gave it to her under control. Notice the first time I did it, when I gave it to her like this, I had them both in my hand, but she reached totally different. She reached blocking with one hand in her. To really lead people is this. You like some ring pops. Notice how easy it is to get her to stop wanting to follow me. It's one word. Before I had this in my hand, she followed me so easy. And when I take that kind of speech out of my language as a husband, now I'm able to leave my whole family where I want them to go. Not because I make them, not because I force them, but because they want to go. Now, Jesus, twice in his ministry, lost his mind. Not literally, but it says that Jesus sat out on the temple of the stoops of the temple, and he braided a whip. Can you imagine on your way to church and the pastor's out there like, "Hey, what you doing? Making a whip? Yeah, you know, I think I'm taking a Sunday off." Jesus went into the temple with his whip, flipped over tables, and drove people, the false folks, out of the temple. In another place, he went in there and just started WWE-ing some tables. He just started flipping stuff over and losing them. Why? Because here's the thing. Jesus, in 3.5 years of ministry, only lost his mind twice. He only really lost his cool twice. Now, Scripture says there's nothing wrong with being angry, but in your anger, do not sin. Jesus said, "I didn't sin. I just flipped their mess over and drove them out with the whip. That's just what I did." But the reason he did it, he only lost his mind twice in 3.5 years. And it was over spiritual calamity that could have happened to the people that he loved. Men, when we lose our temper, is it over something of value and of spiritual consequence? Or is it because our ego and our pride is in the way? Scripture says pride comes before a fall, and a haughty attitude before your destruction. Most men don't argue because they care. They just don't want to lose the pride of being wrong. More men are interested in being right than they are in having a good home or a happy marriage. Because we're not arguing over theological things. We're not arguing over things of value. We're arguing over things like who's supposed to take the trash out. But we're supposed to lead our house. I'll take all my ring pops back. Well, I mean, you put them in the box yourself. You're capable. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Man, when we speak the right words to our spouse, it brings health, and it brings sweetness, and it brings, you can be seated. I'm sorry, I may have you come back up. So I never will forget, I'm a big University of Tennessee football fan. I actually had to stop watching because my emotions got out of control for a while, and now I'm back. I grew up and was able to stop yelling at the TV and the refs, and I always waited on the refs one time when I was yelling at the TV to stop and go, "Oh, I'm sorry, got you, Adam. We'll reverse the call." I never will forget, my wife came in one day, and she'd asked me, I don't know, 400 times to take the trash out. I know none of the other men here struggle with just doing the simple things your wife asks you to do. But there was about 4 minutes left in the half, and my wife came in and she sat. I've got a big oversized recliner. My wife came in and she sat down on the arm of the chair, and she goes, "Hey, am I bothering you?" I said, "No, you know, I'm just watching the game. Just a couple minutes left before halftime." And she goes, "I just want to thank you for all that you take care of around our house." "You're welcome." Can I just let you know that I think it's sexy when you handle stuff around the house? She did that little fingernail on the back of my neck thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? She got up and she left. She kind of kissed me on the cheek and left. And I watched about 2 more minutes of that football game. And it dawned on me. I've got a DVR. I can pause live television. I paused it and I went in there and I got the trash. And she goes, are you stopping in the middle of a football game to take the trash out? And I said, yes, I am. She goes, that is hot. You think that's hot? You wait till I pick this bag up. Whoo! And I took that trash out and I threw it in the can. Because I'm a warrior. I slayed the dragon of Hefty. I came back in and she's like, that's awesome. You're the man. I'm like, you think that's good? What else you got? I got 30 minutes of halftime. What else you need me to take care of? You need me to wipe something down? Like the U.S. wiped the Nazis out? I can take care of it. Now, that wasn't because my wife was manipulating me. No, what she did was she took the sweetness of her words and led me to where she needed me to go rather than nagging me. Because, men, when we get nagged, what do? We stop. Well, that's okay. When you're hateful to your wife, she stops. You're not leading her anymore. I need all my women, just my women. First Service struggled with this part, just the women. Put your hands up for just a second. Keep them high. Raise them proud. Okay. How many of you all like it when a man tells... No, put your hands up if you're a lady. I see you. Put your hands up. I need to hear from you. I will embarrass you in church. Okay. So here we go. Hands are up. How many of you like it when a guy says you're beautiful? Keep your hands up. How many of you like it when you're told you're smart, you're pretty, you're capable? How many of you like it when we don't try to do it for you, but let you do what you can do? Men, put your hands up. How many of you this week told your wife over and over those things that she said she needed to hear? If you didn't put your hand down, it's okay. How many of you guys said these things a lot? Wave at me a little bit. No, wait, this is a wave. Some of y'all are just giving up your hand. Okay, now let me ask you a question. How many of you guys, while you said those things, you gave her the sugar that she needed, how many of you all may have negated that with the other words that you said? So here's the thing. Sometimes we wonder as men why people aren't following us and we're not listening to what we're saying to them. Jesus said this. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Do you know why we don't want to turn our cheeks? Because we want to be right. And we want to be in control. And we don't want our fragile egos damaged. That's not me. You need to go pray. That's not how I am. You need to go pray. This isn't out of the Bible, but thou doth protest too much. Can I ask, and I'm going to say this, what would your wife say? How would you feel if your wife spoke to you the way you speak to her? I wouldn't put up with that. Then you probably need to change. But that's just how I am. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. When I got married, this crazy preacher made this statement. Till death do you part. That's a long time. When you decided to have a child, you, no matter what you try to do, you are a parent until that kid dies. I'm only going to raise them till they're 18. And the devil is a liar. Both of those covenants are only separated by death. So how are you going to lead them? If you're stuck with them, what do you want? What do you want out of your relationships? If I'm a man, here's what I'm saying, is I'm going to fight the things that need to fight. And the first thing I've got to fight is me, because inside of me is all this stuff, good and bad. I've got a pastor friend of mine. Well, he's not really a friend. I read his books. One day he'll know me. And he said this. He says that when he comes home from work, he sits for 10 minutes in the car and reminds himself of who he is. Because, man, when you're at work, I don't care whether you work in a church or you work anywhere else. I actually had lunch with some guys, and this guy said, man, I can't wait till I'm able to quit. He owns a company. He said, I can't wait till I quit my company, because then I can go in the ministry and it's all easy. Me and about four other pastors were in there with him, and I laughed out loud. Disrespectfully. I'm like, dude, you need to go intern a little while. And this guy's like 50 years old. I said, you need to go intern at a church for about 6 months in key leadership and come back and tell me that that's how it works. Because you, my friend, are crazy. It's about the same crazy that when a girl gets married and goes, I'm marrying the perfect guy. 6 months later, she's in my office asking to give him back. Here's the reality. If we're going to be married, if we're going to do this thing, we've got to learn how to do it well. This guy said, I sit in my car for 10 minutes, and I read these two things. He put them on a sticky note on the upper left, like where your oil change thing goes on your car, and it said, I'm a husband and I'm a dad. And he said, I sit in my car for 10 minutes going, my role is a husband and a dad. What does that look like? What does it look like to be a godly husband? What does it look like to be a godly dad? What does it look like to be a godly husband? What does it look like to be a godly dad? What does it look like to be a godly husband? I can't be mad. I brought some anger home from work, but I got to get rid of it before I go in here and deal with the family. I got to unload this stuff out of the box because I'm about to go deal with the most important part of my life. And I'm built for this. I was a wrestler in high school, and before every match, I would get away from everybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I put on my headphones, and I'm focused on what I had to do. And in my mind, I'm going through the fight that I'm about to be in. And I wonder if sometimes, as husbands, we forget that this is a battle that we're in. Remember Joel 3. We're warriors for this battle. But we forget to get ready for the fight. The fight isn't with our spouse that we're normally fighting. A lot of times we're fighting what's inside of us. Here's what I believe. I believe that if you're a man and you're here today and you say, you know what, I want to lead my family well, you're going to have to get rid of the darts. Man, when I started setting up this script, this teaching, I was like, man, I'm horrible at this sometimes. Can I be honest? Like sometimes we'll have to deal with a leader that's like gone off reservation, and you're like, "What the world's wrong with you?" And it's this big tension talk, right? And I leave that tension talk, and I've got to go home and be with my family, who doesn't need me to throw darts at them. They didn't have anything to do with. Sometimes I do good at that. Sometimes I hang up talking to one person that was super frustrating, and I get somebody that didn't have anything to do with it. Have you ever had a problem with a company? And you talk to one rep, and they said they'd do something, but they didn't do it. So you call back in, you get a new rep, and you, like, chew them out. I've had to make this statement. Listen, I know you don't have anything to do with this, but you're about to get all kinds of stuff you don't deserve because I'm frustrated. Because my ego, right? Men, my challenge to you this week is this. One, continue to pray over your family. But two, if you're going to lead your family, what if you led them with the sweetness of your words and the direction of where I'm taking you and my love for you and my... And what if we only fight the battles that were worth fighting? my wife and I had some company over yesterday, and she walked in the kitchen. And she said, well, how do you think I should set it up, like this or like this? And I'm like, how do you want to set it up? I like this better. I'm all for it. This is your domain. That's not me going, how do you want me to cut the grass at a 3 or 3.5? Well, I don't care. Cut it. Mow it. What if you decided with the sweetness of your words you were going to begin to lead your family? Does it mean you never get mad? No, it just means that when you're angry, you still don't sin. When you're angry, I still don't say things that I shouldn't have said. Yeah, but she just frustrates me. Yeah, but grow up. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. I did stupid kid things. I became a man. I put those things away. In our culture, everybody wants to talk about how they feel. Grown men control their emotions. I was the youngest of four kids. I'm stopping, I promise. The youngest of four kids. I would aggravate the wallpaper off the wall as a kid. I know it's hard for you to imagine, but I would. And finally, my sister would have enough, and she'd just pummel me. It's the way siblings work, right? And my mom would come in, and she'd break us up, and she'd fuss at us. Then she'd look at my older sister and go, I expect more out of you. You're older. I wonder if God sometimes looks at husbands and go, whoa, 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 I expect more out of you. You're the leader. You can't throw ball for ball. You're older than that. Just take it. It's just your ego. Nobody's ever died from an ego hemorrhage. My wife sometimes will get mad at me, and I look at her and go, you can be mad, but you're still pretty. She'll go, shut up. I'll be like, that's okay. You can tell me to shut up, but you know what? One day, you're gonna sit there, and you're going to be like, I wish he'd tell me that he loved me. Today is that day. And she'll be like, will you stop it? And I'm like, you're still pretty. And eventually, she'll go, just stop. Now it's diffused. Oh, it goes both ways. Sometimes I come in irritable, and she's like, I know you're mad, but I love you anyway. And I'm just going to give you some space. And what I hear is, you're acting like a 2-year-old, and I'm going to put you in time out. And I'm like, you know what? You're absolutely. And you know the problem? She's absolutely right. So, man, you got two challenges this week. One, you need to consistently pray over your family every single day out loud to them. Well, they're going to think I'm weird. That's fine. You are. You're finally starting to act like a man. The second thing you need to do is you need to begin to lead with the candy, not with the dart. Man, I wish my wife loved me more. Love her more. Wish my wife was more understanding. Be more understanding. Go first. That's what a leader does. Look at how you talk to the people at your job. It matters. Some of you guys have employees that can't stand you because you cut them. Doesn't mean you don't correct things, but love them with correction. Hey, look, man, I love you. This isn't personal, but you got to stop. I have to have that conversation a lot. Look, man, I love you. What you're doing is wrong. It doesn't mean I don't love you. This is a no-fly zone. Your wife says something nasty to you, so you say something nasty back because you're not going to be embarrassed in front of your friends. Honey, what you said an hour ago, we don't need to do that. This is, not again. I'm not saying that because I don't love you. I'm saying it because I care about our relationship, and that hurt. You feel what I'm saying? Lead with the candy. Lead with love. Lead with where you're trying to, right? Take one in the ego every now and then. Do you receive this today? As we come to close, with every head bowed and eye closed, I just want to pray over our men real quick. But before I do, I want to give you an opportunity to come to know the Lord. If you're watching online or you're here in house, you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Will you just slip your hand up? Thank you. across this place and online, if you raised your hand, will you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. In Jesus' name. Father, over every man in this place, God, that's struggling with changing the metal of who he naturally is into the sword that you're making him into being. God, from changing from being weak to being a warrior. God, for every man that's trying to learn how to lead his family and he can't figure out why he can't do it, Father, let this be the first start. God, let this be the place where he learns to lead, not with harsh words, but Father, with gentle words, God, with soft words, with sweet words that are good for body and soul. God, not just his body and soul, but the body and soul of the people you entrusted into his care. God, let our gentle words turn away wrath. The wrath of our wife, the wrath of our children, the wrath of our bosses, wrath of our employees. Father, help us to commit to being the man of God that we're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you and we can't wait to see you again next time.